Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta be standing.
Watching you as you dream, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason. I watched it all come true. Your touch is golden distant,
Shout even shy, seeing the words you cannot say. Thank you, Shout. Welcome back to the show. Written by, yeah, I wrote the, she tweaked a poem for me very much. Welcome back, my friends, to the show where I can send my love all around the world. How's that, Deb?
Oh, good one. You finished it.
Yeah.
So proud of you. Only took 2 years.
2 years. We have sold it to ATOV, a team of voices radio. So we are a Wonderland production. We are a group of writers who hang out in the website allpoetry.com. Is free to join. You can find us in the groups, ATOV, ATO Voices. If you knock on the door, we let you in. We have expanded our group onto the radio to share our work, our verses, and like I said, it's free to join in. You can call. We don't write. The number here is 1-646-668-2837. That's 1-646-668-2837.
Speak for yourself, Hatter.
With me, of course, that's Deborah Lee. She sits at the back, does all the heavy lifting, so I can sit out here and look pretty. Thank you, Deborah.
pleasure.
And also with me, my partner, the man from Snowy River, the man from Down Under, the Wizard of Oz, A.P. Taylor.
Hello. How are you?
How are things down under?
It's a bit quiet here in Melbourne town. We're in lockdown mode.
Lockdown, wow.
Just been teasing us all day with his turnovers.
Yeah, I've been doing these apple and grape turnovers, Hatter.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how do we get some of those?
I know, right?
Good question.
Kudo asked to take the email some.
It's all looking good, though, Hatter. It's the right color, it's the right texture, and it actually tastes okay.
Cool. Actually, we have some people in the studio tonight.
I laid some homework down last week,
and we're all
yes.
We were all instructed to write Lady A love poem.
And
she
so
said,
like,
wouldn't it be nice? She said, wouldn't it be nice to have a romantic poem written? So that was our job. See how we did.
You forgot but whatever.
I see Stephen Andrake.
Yeah.
And we've got Stephen Coates here. Yeah, we do.
Hello.
Lady
and they're all in the studio.
Lady A.
Hi, Stephen.
The
yes.
Queen. The Queen of Canada.
Lady A.
Hello.
So after that, we'll ask Steve and Stephen if you're under time crunch. You need to hit and run.
I do, of course. Unfortunately, have to work Sunday morning is a new regular for me, unfortunately.
Yeah. And is Kay with you?
She is now. She is.
Okay. All right. Well, let's pick it up.
It's a matter of tickets.
Yeah, there you go. But I saw on the prompt it could be a love letter to the ocean or Lady A, because I just brought
up.
And I wrote I actually wrote to my ocean, which is actually Lake Erie. And I think a lot of you have heard this before, but I figured I'd just throw it your way. And it's called Lake Erie, and that's a picture of Lake Erie. This wonderful place I used to go, the lake is where my thoughts would flow. Sit in the sand and look over the waves, calming myself, this lake she saves. Feel the breeze upon my face, close my eyes and forget the race. Take off my shoes, feel the cold water, troubles forgotten, what else could matter? Feeling refreshed, I head for home, returning again when I need calm. End poem.
Cool. Now, I did say Lady A and her beaches. This is for the beaches.
Lakes have beaches.
Yeah, Lady A. What did
Lakes
you say?
Have beaches.
For starters.
Well, I love anything that celebrates the beach, and that was lovely. It's beautiful. I'm addicted to the beach, so anything that's written like that. And you did a good job, Stephen, and it was quite beautiful.
Thank you, Lady A.
Stephen, is that your photo?
Yeah. No, it's actually one that I just found when I Googled Lake Erie. I could put one of mine on there now after some of the pictures
that's
I took the other
idea.
Day.
Yeah, especially that one with all the colors. Just saying.
Yeah, is that... Is that sunrise? Sunset.
That would be sunset.
Sunset.
They were probably having ice cream, and it was probably after dinner.
Chocolate cake.
Almost every night.
See, there you go. Gorgeous call.
Was Stephen going to post a picture of his or
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
Okay. And Lady A, what does your beach look like?
Oh.
Okay, so I can only imagine.
I'm going to post a picture of it for you so you can see. It's just fabulous. And it's fairly private, too, and so there's not a lot of people that are on the beach at any one time. And it's sandy. The tide goes out quite far, so you can walk forever. And you can dig clams, you can go mackerel fishing, you can pretty much do any kind of seafaring things. And it's a lot of fun. And I'll try to get a picture up there, and I'm pretty sure I can.
Do you have a lot of tide pools?
You mean when the tide's out, little pools between the sandbars? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, when the tide goes out, it leaves little pools, the water.
Yes, there are. We have a lot of sandbars. And so when the tide goes out, we all take our beach chairs and we put them on the sandbars and let the tide chase us back in. So it's really, it's a great, it's just a great experience altogether, you know. Here, I'm looking for the picture now, so.
Okay. I'm looking at the calendar.
The Northumberland Strait is what is the body of water, and it's the warmest waters north of the Carolinas. It's the body of water that lays between my province of New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island. There's a whole different culture here, you know, in the Maritime provinces in Canada. It's just a whole completely different way of life.
Like the Amish?
Pardon me?
Like the Amish?
No.
No,
not like the Amish. No, it's just the, if you think of, say, the east coast of the U.S., up in the Lake Vermont and, no, not because those are mostly on lakes, but up around the Maine and, well, Jersey Shore has the Atlantic Ocean too. So I mean, Deb, would you say there's a whole different kind of thinking and way of life? I think that happens at the beach on the East Coast.
Down the shore, everything's all right.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm still looking. I'm looking at the calendar,
and today was National Gingerbread Day, also National Moonshine Day, Veggie Burger Day, Black Bear Day. Okay. What I should do is not report what day today is. What is tomorrow? So
that is more important. That's why you can celebrate it.
Yep. Sunday, June 6th, so D-Day. This is National D-Day. June 6th, down in infamy. National Eyewear Day. Higher Education Day.
Yes.
I don't know who comes up with these lists, but I'm going to go ahead and name them because some of the lists are long. National Garden Day.
Of the beach, and I'm going to post a picture of my two youngest granddaughters when they were quite a bit younger than they are now.
If you feel up to it, tomorrow is exercise day. Remember the yo-yo? Drive-in movie day. Applesauce cake. Cancer survivors celebrate. So.
Yeah, now there's a classic picture of the beach and the kids, my two grandkids and two of my grandkids. Yeah, love it.
The beach.
The
beach.
It is. It is. It's the beach. It's and a very nice beach too.
Thank you.
Did Stephen want to say something about an upcoming show, Stephen? While we've got
you? Stephen, you want to go ahead and.
Our next show at Poetic Slice of Life is Monday night, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. That's the Mortuary of Shadows, and it's our monthly edition of True Crime. And this week we're going to look at H.H. Holmes, the man who made the hotel that you check into and never check out.
Yep. Yep.
All righty. What time is that?
But you can never leave.
Yep, 11:30 Eastern.
11:30 Eastern, all right.
Hmm.
Well, cool. Well, I'm sure to try to make it. Oh, and Stephen, tomorrow I'm having Santana. Carlos.
I do like Santana. I do like Santana.
Yeah, we'll be playing some. This is somebody's got fascinating. He's had a fascinating life, so we'll be going over some of the details there. And you're welcome if you can.
I love it.
Cool. Go blow in your wife's face and tell them it's from us.
Will do.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
All right.
Bye.
All right,
see
you.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
You
can check out any time you like, but you can never leave. Something like that.
Yeah. There you go. Now,
Hotel California.
Yeah.
I think what I'll do.
I know. I'm quoting Hotel California. Guess that.
Gotta love that.
I think I'm going to read mine.
Why not, Petter? That sounds like a good plan. How did you find writing this piece, Hatter? Was this an easy write?
Well, it was a fairly easy write. I tried to reach down to. I divided it up. There was actually two of them. But this is the one I finished, and the other one didn't work. It's called Through the Looking Glass. Just like this. I love that. I followed Hugh home, so I won't be alone. I hope you understand that before I met you, I had no clue, not a clue, that I could be your man. Simply said, it's in my head that I need a ticket to ride if you could fix with your bag of tricks what's broken me inside. I need not let each dawn break. I promise to make your heartbeat that is one with mine, and with a touch of class through the looking glass, I will love you till the end of time.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
That's so beautiful. Wow. Oh. Isn't that beautiful? I followed you home.
Absolutely.
So I won't be able. Oh, Hatter, that was exquisitely beautiful. Thank you so much. Oh,
you're welcome.
I have a big smile on my face and my heart is racing. And beautiful. Very beautiful. Thank you so much. Wow.
I can hear her smile.
I know.
Yeah.
It's just... there's all the lines I love in it, but I thought it was really great that you put this, if you could fix with your bag of tricks what's broken me inside. I thought that's really meaningful because I'm always trying to fix you. And it's just so beautiful. I will love you till the end of time. Oh, thank you so much. Wow.
Welcome.
That's going on my list. My list.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Oh, my goodness. I love that.
So awesome and sweet, Hatter. Marshmallow strikes again.
Oh, just beautiful.
See, Hatter, I would have been inclined to use a Beatles lyric near the end, since you had Ticket to Ride up the front. Yeah.
If it was
would have been, why would have used the Beatles lyric near the end? Because you had Ticket to Ride in the middle, yeah? So,
well,
Now,
you got to realize that there was a lot of other verses that were edited out, whether they were redundant or sort of a residual, but it did. I like the
yes.
Simply Said Inside My Head, and I thought I could slip it in there.
Can I offer a suggestion for the second last line?
Sure.
And here we go.
The second to
and with a touch
okay.
of class, this is the last sentence. And with a touch of class, here, there, everywhere pass, I will love you to the end of time.
Yeah, write that in the comments.
On the yellow submarine.
There you go. So it just completes the Beatles link, that's all. That's just me.
Yeah.
I'll write in the comments, I promise.
Yeah, that might fit in the other one. I got to finish the other one, too.
Oh, you got a second one there?
Yeah, it might. They were similar. A lot of it was just the same redundancy. I mean, I wanted it to flow and feel. I wanted Lady A to feel it. Did you feel it, Lady A?
Yeah.
I'm still feeling it.
That's very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Can I do my first one, Hatter? Because I've got a very small brevity, but I've got a proper one.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes, when I'm sort of struggling on a topic, I go back to free verse. I don't know whether you've noticed. But
you look a little bit free.
So I went back to free verse. So this is I do twice as much rhyme as free verse, but here's free verse. This is footsteps. It goes a bit like this. Salty tang as discarded bottles clank while sands gather at her feet. An old gull squawks above, upon her feet distantly trail, beyond the ripples of an incoming tide. The clear air stirs off the bay, her hand seeks glass which has been polished by ocean waves. Here the ripples are sigh, air holds heavy distant storms, seeking out the coast with intent to obscure the gathering stars. The shriek of a child lingers brief on the dune, as the long grass waves in the stutter of the distant zephyr. And she walks the beach, calm in the knowledge that she belongs here, and that she will be joined by another who steps in her footsteps, long before the beach sweeps them away. End poem.
Oh, my gosh. This one's making me cry. Because you captured my love for the beach so beautifully. It was really nice. I just love it. I think it's going to be a sappy night, I'm afraid. I love this.
Yeah, very
sappy
good.
Sappy's cool now and then. Yeah.
It is beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Thank you.
Pleasure.
Now, the Zephyr Winds, is that a cloud formation, or is it just describing a certain direct wind or temperature?
It's just a little breeze, onshore sea breeze, Zephyr.
Okay.
It's just another nice way of saying winds without saying breezes or winds or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always wondered if it was an actual. What are those rolling clouds called? The ones along the coast.
Ah, now that's a good question.
The blanket.
And I'm not tripping. But
I guess
the answer is. Yeah. Okay. These little thermals. Yeah.
Volutus.
Yes.
Volutus or Volutus?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Cool.
Yeah, the up drafts and those things are supposed to be a glider's dream.
Mm.
After all day, the thermal lifts and such. Yeah.
So that was a mega treat for the senses there, I'd say. I could almost hear the ripples and I could feel the zephyr moving my hair, and I could hear the kids on the beach. It was like a perfect description of the beach.
Yeah, it was quite sort of visual, wasn't it? In a strange sort of way.
It was nice for the senses. Visual,
yeah. Smell. Oh, I can't shoot.
Okay.
I can't share a picture because I'm silver membership. I'm so used to doing it, and I'm just not being able to do it. Just sort of.
Well, email it to me.
That's a good thought. Email.
Oh, okay.
Good thinking.
I think I still
got
it.
While you do that, I'll see if we can't make her cry. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
You can try that. You can try that,
Ted. I can't stop crying.
Are you going to put your one on the board?
I did, yeah.
Excellent. Sounds like a good plan.
And you know, I had to go find a pink beach scene, so... Did you send it to me, Hatter?
Could I do a messenger, or you want an email? I got an email.
No, send it to my email address.
Okay. Yahoo?
Yeah.
Okay. Done.
Okay.
It's
And this poem is called As the Sun Sets on Her Pastel Beach. Here we go. As cloud shapeshift just for her, pink and periwinkle mark the sky. Now her smile lights up the shore, sparking the glitter from her eyes. Walking on the Canadian coastline, 10 naked toes sink into the dunes. Then I spy shipwrecked starfish, serenaded by a seabird that croons. Seagulls fly by to screech lullabies. Shells fall at her feet on wet sands. The wind tosses her blonde tresses and salted foam kisses her hands. Quartz sunlight dips in the horizon, trailed by the yellow neon strands. In her little cottage on her corner of the world. And
beautiful. You know what, you guys are really sorry.
We don't mean to make you cry.
Oh, but it's okay. It's a good thing. It's a good cry. I treasure the words from all of you. Really, you have no idea. This is beautiful. I love everything about it. The shipwrecked starfish and being serenaded by the seabirds and the whole beach scene and the pink. And I love
We figure if we come up there and trash your house at party, have a party one day, we'd better, get some grace with you.
Yeah, I trash it with you.
This is great, you guys. It's so beautiful. I really, I am full. My heart is full, truly.
Oh, good, it is. All right.
It's a lovely poem. Okay. I really like that one. I like it because it's quite descriptive, but it's sort of just gentle, and it's got a lovely sort of sense to the poem. I really like how it sort of hits the page.
Like you said, it's the words. it's the soft words. You got to keep them together.
Mm.
Don't end it, you know, to keep the feeling going. If in the middle of your poem, you've got a soft feeling, warm, fuzzy, all this going with nice, smooth, easy listening words, and then you stop in the middle of it with a C, hard C, CK or something, you can trip. Unless
or right there in the middle, have the seagull crash on the beach and explode or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Or call it a shithawk or something like that.
It's more that the heavily stressed words are at the start and end of the line, so it gives this sort of sense of flow in the middle. How's that?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Alrighty. Deborah.
So, I think we should give Lady A a break and do the collaboration. That's not going to be. That's
agreed.
Not going to be crying material, I don't think, based off what I saw the image was.
Why do you say that, AP?
No,
well,
he's going to be crying is all he meant.
Oh.
You've got a comedian talking to a Sasquatch and an alien with a whole heap of bobbleheads watching, and I can't see how we're going to make Lady A cry out of that image. Well, I could be wrong, but, you know, can't
see. Well, you know, that's Joe Rogan, right?
I had to look that up, Tatter. I did.
Yeah,
I looked
Rogan,
it up. I had no idea. So I looked it up.
Yeah, number one blogcast radio in the country.
Yeah, well, I heard that. Well, once I worked out who it was, I actually sort of worked that out. But I have to say that I had to go and, you know, reverse search to find out who that was. Because I didn't know, so, you know. But I found out. So that's the most important thing.
Yeah, he's had Bob Lazar and the ex-colonel and the guy writing the UFO documentary and about Bob Lazar. He's got a lot of controversial. He had Elon Musk was on it.
Oh, right. Wow. He's got high profile people. Anyway.
Yeah.
Deb and I are running one all. I beat her once.
Okay.
She beat me once. But good. Deb, did you want to do the honors and read this poem? So I'm fascinated about this one.
Okie dokie. Well, for starters, I'm impressed that you looked it up because one of the first things that struck me was that you both knew who they were, who he was by name, and I would have called him like a chocolateite or a Neanderthal, and when I saw Sasquatch, I got such a kick out of it. So anyway, this is called An Interview with an Unlikely Two. And here we go. Joe's Alien Show, for those that don't know, are with Joe Rogan and a Sasquatch, no boots. Lazar spoke the truth with aliens in the booth in bobblehead slogans appearing in cahoots. Too much to own ET phone home, they don't know where you are, so they appear on the radio with the comic and creature. The answers came fast. No one ever crashed. They shot them down at Roswell and the ship in the bayou and the alien feature. No one believes Joe as they hear the show. And if I were an alien, I'd avoid the politicians. Believing fear took the air with a second look at the worst type of mammalian amid the suspicion. Left alone near the Neanderthal bone, they bred with the cave-dwelling beasts. To a background of stars, the latest visitor speaks. Both the gray said that someday, Bob the gray said that someday his people will come in peace. And not be seen in bar fights that take years, not weeks. And Paul?
Wow, you guys are amazing with these collaborations. I want to tell you, I thought that this was really, really good, and I too like that you stuck Sasquatch in there. And it was really—I don't know how you guys do it. And Deb, you know, to be able to put it together like this, it was really,
really talented, I think, and the whole thing. What was the picture the prompt?
Yeah, the picture's always the prompt. And I must tell you on the side that when Heather sent me his lines this time, he said, good luck, Deb.
Oh, you sure did a great job with this one, I'm telling you. I was just looking at the... Now, Joe Rogan, excuse me, he's the interviewer, right? Is he a famous guy in the
yeah,
U.S.?
He was the host of Fear Factor, and he also played on Just Shoot Me as a magazine... George Segal. But yeah, he did. He hosted Fear Factor, and he's also a commentator for the MMA, mixed martial arts.
Okay, right, yeah. I really liked this. I thought it was great. You guys are very effective in as this trio doing this. I'm amazed. Yeah.
Great comment.
It read well.
Was that?
It read well.
It held together nicely. And
well, I chopped out a few words and tried to make the flow a little better since you were so damn close with your storyline. It was like I blown away always.
Well, that's expected, Deb. It really is. I mean, we wouldn't think – we would hope you would. Otherwise, it would be a little more choppy and
– Yeah, I thought it was terrific.
We're heading to 50. That's 47. Quite remarkable. But I did get Sasquatch in, Hatter. I got Sasquatch in, and I got bobbleheads as well.
Right.
I did wonder if anybody would pick up on the bottled water or the flask. Maybe they were getting drunk or something, but neither one of you went there.
No, didn't go there. No, I was always keen to have the.
There was a bar though, so it was close.
It was.
Yeah, I went Neanderthal instead of Sasquatch.
Yeah, which gave us two funny visuals. So it always works.
I thought it was great. I'm amazed at how you put them together too, Deb. That takes talent. It's no easy task.
It always is easier than what it sort of flows easier and feels easier than what it is to put together because we're quite different this time because I sort of did a folksy short run poem and had it in long lines.
It's hard not to because if you're thinking of rhyme, which I constantly do, I want to keep going and write the whole verse. So it's hard for me to just write
that's
one.
What I did.
It's difficult to walk away. You know, just write the one line. Less is more. Don't calm yourself.
A poem going on this time, but much, much shorter lines. But it was interesting. Interesting picture. Really interesting picture. And lots of stuff to write about, Seth. So really, really good.
I think the hardest part for me is that I have so many that I have marked for the collabs, and I think it takes me longer to pick which one to send you than it does to put your words together. Which is kind of strange, but there it is.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah. Yep. But it's quite a remarkable little process. I'd like to say that sort of practice improves it, but it's hard to see how it could. But it seems to. So just shrug and move on, really.
I'm having a grand old time with it. So, you know, as long as you guys don't bore with it, I'll just keep sending them pictures. I get all kinds of surreal stuff.
And the surreal stuff, I don't know, Hatter, what you think, but I kind of like the surreal stuff. I like when you've got sort of unusual things going on that you can sort of just throw out there, you know.
Yeah, a lot of things.
I think I'm debating on the last two now, but one of them has, it's not, excuse me, it's not really the Opera House, but it sort of has enough of a resemblance that I, you know, I was like, oh, I got to save this. And then I wind up with another one and another one, and then I can't decide which ones to send you. But, yeah, I have a harder time figuring out which one to send week after week than threading.
Well, you, of course, on a complete side note, you know what the Opera House was actually sort of based upon, don't you?
I do not.
In terms of its... Okay. So well, the Opera House in Australia was based upon the Four Quarters of an Orange. And so
cool. That's
sort of you get two of the orange lying down, the other two bits of the orange sort of sitting up, and it was based on Four Quarters of an Orange. That was the original inspiration.
But it's one of those iconic things, and I think I've mentioned
it
this
is.
On shows before. But like when they do, say, a disaster movie, and it strikes across the world, and they always bring down the Statue of Liberty, and they go over and they hit Big Ben, and then they go to us and they take down the Opera House. That's icon.
Yes. Yes, that's true. That's true. So it is iconic. But it's a beautiful thing as itself. It's getting a bit old now. It got built in the sort of 50s and 60s, and so...
Yeah, but
that's
most brilliant part. It's a gazillion years old, but it still looks hip and like it could have been designed yesterday.
How old is it?
Very true. About 50 years old, Lydia.
Wow.
About 50 years off. The only problem with the Opera House is that it's got very small stages and quite small auditoriums, and the sort of walk-off areas and the curtains are next to nothing. So it does require, if you're doing a stage play or something like that, quite a bit of stuffing around to get in and out. But it's a brilliant design, and it just fits beautifully where it sits.
What has been the most exciting act that has gone through that playhouse?
That's a very, very good question. And I think it depends on what your artistic preferences are, Lady A, because a lot of people would say probably operas or opera singers, but I wouldn't say that. I would say that the best ever show was held outside on the steps of the Opera House because it allowed a bigger crowd, and it was the final concert of Crowded House. I would say that was the best thing that happened there. But that's, me being, because I like Crowded House,
Deb, with what you were saying, the show doesn't get serious until they take the Golden Gate out. And then it gets serious.
Hello? Hello, Deb?
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said a movie doesn't get serious until they take the Golden Gate out.
Yes, that's very true. They usually do go to our coast and take out the statue, and they go to your coast and take out the Golden Gate. That is very true. They don't mess with the middle too often, just the edges.
No. Well, there's not much out in the middle of, the Pacific there. I mean, there's sort of
tornadoes.
Hawaii and Galapagos down the bottom.
Tornadoes.
Samoa and
Fiji.
But there's not much there.
Wheat fields, corn fields, and tornadoes.
AP, have you ever heard a show called Mr. In Between?
No, I haven't yet. No, should I have?
Okay. The reason I ask is because it's taped in New South Wales, and I've seen bits and pieces and clips from it. And when they get to their door, they put the key in the deadbolt and open it by pushing it. There's no doorknobs, and I wondered...
Oh.
Is that commonplace in New South Wales, do you know?
Not that I'm aware of, Deb, no. It is very odd. It is very odd. You're absolutely right. Yeah. No, it's that is not normal.
And it was like the one was a man going up to his apartment door, and one was going to his home. And
yep.
like I said, they get to the door, they put the key in, and when they click, they push. And there's not a knob indoors or outdoors. I thought it was just an odd thing, but then I saw it in more than one scene. So
yeah.
I was like, that is very strange. Well, you got to wonder what they have against doorknobs.
Well, now that you come to mention it, I actually have exactly the same arrangement on my door here in this house. I have no doorknob on the door. I just have a place to put the key.
I think it's a way that you have to lock your car. You have to lock your car, your house to leave. You can't just shut the door. You have to lock it.
Well, no, I don't mean that, Hatter. I mean, like, my front door has a doorknob, and the doorknob can be unlocked with a key, and then there's a deadbolt as well. But on the ones, and what AP's saying is there's a deadbolt. You walk up to the door, you put your key in the deadbolt, and you click and push. There's no, you don't grab a knob and open it. There is no doorknob.
No doorknob.
Oh, wow.
So exactly. No doorknob.
So you couldn't shut it. So you couldn't shut your door without locking it, because
Well, you can shut it. Don't know if it's going to stay shut.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a took over a warehouse or something. Yeah.
The more I think about it, Deb, the more I'm thinking how common that arrangement is actually here. We just tend to have the deadbolts with no. That tends to be the standard, actually. All the houses I'm thinking of now all had just a deadbolt without a handle.
I've never seen that.
Right? Wow.
No, I've never seen it.
No. It's probably half the houses here, I reckon, don't have a handle on the door.
Do you have metal doors? Are they metal doors?
No, they're not metal doors. They tend to be, the solid wooden door, but not they're not hollow.
For sure,
they're solid.
Right. It's solid core, sure.
Yeah. But it's not. No, they're not metal.
Can I ask a question that doesn't relate to doors? Well, it sort of does in a way, I guess. You live in a city. You live in the city. And
yes,
so I'm trying to visualize, because you hear, a lot about the critters that live in Australia. Do you ever get in the city? You do?
Do we occasionally get animals?
Snakes in your house
all the time. We get snakes all the time.
Really?
No, quite seriously, lady, I'm not saying this just because. We have just around about 3 kilometres from me is a children's farm, and the children's farm had a block of like planter areas where you could go and get an area and you could plant your own vegetables and fruit and whatever. So there was a little garden, for want of a better word. Last week that was closed, and it's been basically chomped up by a backhoe. And the reason for that was twofold. The first was that everybody was using those metal stakes, and the consultants were worried that people would kill themselves on the stakes by falling on them because it's uneven. But the second and major reason that it was done by the backhoe was because they found snakes in there.
Oh my god!
And the snakes were nesting in the garden area. And so, for occupational health and safety reasons, they got rid of the garden and got rid of the snakes at the same time.
Well, I'm trying to visualize myself.
I would be so, I mean, I would be stressed going out in the yard or closing the door or going to the toilet in the middle of the night. I would be thinking there would be snakes everywhere. What about you, Deb? Where are you going to ask?
They're certainly up in the country, you know, because I remember when I first went to the country and stayed with my mother's side of the family, that you definitely had to be concerned about snakes in the back of that place. I've got a photo, actually, that was from yesterday, because we've got lockdown and nobody's driving. It was actually a deer that ran down the centre of the city.
Wow.
So,
taken back to land.
It's gone through the red light, so it's gonna get a fine. We certainly do have snakes in the metropolitan area, and you have to be very, very careful in the summer, buddy.
Well, being on lockdown, you're under lockdown, that's probably not uncommon to have a deer run down the street. No cars, right?
It's the first time I've seen it, Adam. Because nobody's really driving their cars. That was early on in the morning. It was a beauty.
We get
bears.
Is
there something that's
in
the back of your mind all the time? Like, you have to be careful all the time that there's, especially snakes, because they can slither under your door or...
You have to just have in the back of your mind all the time that there are snakes about, buddy. It's just one of those things that you just watch always what you're doing with your feet and where they are, and you know you constantly.
Are there a lot of people that are killed each year by venomous snakes?
There's a fair few. I'll see how what the snake deaths. You know, there's probably 50 each year or something. It's not huge. I mean, more people are killed by bees than are killed by snakes.
Wow. That would be about the same number as here, but there's just more that live there.
Isn't this thing? 3,000 people are bitten by snakes in Australia every year.
3,000. That's a lot of people.
That's bitten.
And
550, right?
Only three of them end up dead normally. Have you ever been bitten by a snake?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I've gone close.
You don't see people laying on the grass in parks and things like that, or do you?
Yeah, you see parks doing it, sure, but I mean, I think where there's more people and more noise, there's less snakes. Yeah, so.
Where there's more noise, there are more snakes?
No, more noise, there's less snakes, I said. There's more people, less snakes. But in general, the snakes don't like people and noise, yeah? So there's the odd snake that basically is sort of counter to that, but most of them don't, they genuinely don't like people being around. So,
didn't you have a cane frog chasing across the yard?
I had a brown snake chase me for sure. Yeah, I had that happen a couple of times. Brown snakes are horrible. They're aggressive and they're nasty. And if they've got small brown snakes, they're even worse. But they're just not pleasant critters to be around, brown snakes. But the rest of them are reasonably good. You know, if you make enough noise and give them a wide berth, they'll give you a wide berth too. But brown snakes are nasty and aggressive and will chase you.
Now, Now, there, Australia has the most venomous snakes in the world, right?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. I guess
yes.
We can't get married then.
Well, if you say so, Lady A, I'm happy.
Unless you want to move to Canada.
Well, you know, there you go.
Wow.
It's important to get these. So,
just looking up the fact that 7,000 people a year are bit in the United States by snakes. So,
you guys have
a lot of snakes too. You have snakes too that are scary. Now, 1 out of 500 are venomous here. And you need to beware North Carolina, West Virginia, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Virginia, and Texas. And males get more often than females. And apparently snakes have issues because they have a higher rate of biting whites than non-whites.
Really?
Strange, but true.
They see in the ultraviolet. They see their eyes pick up ultraviolet heat.
Yeah, right.
Fascinating. And they say once upon a time I had a pet snake, and his name was Predator. So I'm not
snake.
Really afraid of snakes.
A pet snake? Really?
Yeah.
Predator. A little predator.
Looking at what we have in Canada, and there are three types of venomous snakes in Canada.
Yes.
The pit viper, the rattlesnakes. I didn't know that.
Rattlesnake,
and then there's the prairie rattlesnake. And then there's
rattlesnakes are pit vipers.
The snakes in Oz probably laugh at the snakes on this continent. Just saying. Yeah.
Well,
I know we have snakes here, but they're just like little grass snakes. They're not venomous. But
we have some very nasty snakes. That is true. And the further north you go, the nastier, typically. Yeah, so, you know, if you head towards the cane fields of Queensland, get into Taipan country, and those things are really nasty. So they're like eastern browns. They're all over the friggin'. So I used to do, in my company used to do fertilizer in bags, you know, these Hessian or plastic bags, and snakes used to be in them all the time. And so we would, you know, warn our staff, you know, and we'd get them to try and wear gloves and do the right thing. But the trouble was that, you know, they'd get sloppy and they'd forget and, you know. So, you know, I had several employees bitten by taipans sitting in returned fertilizer bags.
Yeah.
Taipan, that's the 100 step. So you can get about 100 steps. Something like that.
Yeah, look, they're not very pleasant little critters. And I was trying to find, I shared with Deb an image of a friend who lives about 3-4 miles away, and they went for a walk in the morning, and I just wanted to see if I can find the image. Okay, here we go.
I remember it.
Yeah, and this one, lady, it just gives you an example of how well they fit in. Yeah,
the camouflage.
And so you can see, if you look at that image, you look very, very closely, right down the bottom right is an eastern brown snake.
I think I've seen them on TV. They're horrible looking. Oh, look at the deer. Wow.
So, just
the, and the bundle of leaves?
Okay, where did you... Okay,
yeah,
so looking at... I see its head. He's got his
forked tongue sticking out, doesn't he?
Yep. Yep, that's him.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not sure. I'm such a chicken when it comes to stuff like that.
Like,
see, I have this vision now. Tonight when I go to bed, I'll get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and I'll have to turn the light on and look in the toilet to make sure there's no snake and water moccasin coming up in the,
No. Well, it won't happen in Canada, but I'm just saying you've just got to be really careful of snakes here in the summer. And they're
so,
right.
What
in
other
the center
creatures
of the city.
Are poisonous that would you'd have to be careful, like in Australia?
Well, it depends on where you are, Lady A. I mean, if you go up north, of course there's crocodiles and there's cassowaries and there's sharks and there's spiders of different types and there's snakes. What else is there? Well, that's probably the worst of it all. I mean, you know, a kangaroo will make a mess of you with its back heel.
Yeah, really.
There's stories of kangaroos, you know, literally jumping through a windscreen and then just killing a person with their back hind legs as they're in the car.
They look like chimpanzees when they're just muscle bound.
They're very, very strong and quite big. So the problem with Australian wildlife is that most of it is kind of nasty. I mean, even platypus have poisonous spurs in their feet. So, you know, all forms of it.
So koala bears.
Oh, yeah.
Koala bears can be mean, too.
No, they've got very, very sharp claws to hang onto the trees. But they don't, they're very placid.
Does anybody have them for pets? Is it illegal to have them as a pet?
No, it's illegal, Lady A. No, it's illegal. You can't have them as pets. No.
Deb, I'm going to send a picture to you to put up, okay?
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So, anyway, but it, you know, as I said, you don't let your guard down, Lady A. Is the trick here? You just keep your, you know, you just make sure that you're awake and are watching.
Okay.
Now, Hatter, should we do one of the poets that's given us a sound player?
Yes, please do. Let's do that.
I was thinking we might do Titus because Titus always does a good poem. So let me play Titus for you, Lady O.
Okay, Deb, there goes.
Yes.
They were actually from yesterday. Titus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Got it. Well, I've got the wrong days. That's okay. That's cool. If that's the case, I'll do one of mine. I don't mind that. I'll do one of mine. I'll do a brevity, Lady A.
And there's
Hatter's photo. Oh, brilliant. Oh, wow. That's a great photo, Hatter. That's a great photo. I love it a lot.
Thunderhead.
I did this while I was waiting for the show to start, Lady O. So
okay.
It's only very short because I was only here for 10 minutes before the show started. See? So it had to be short. So this is Stick in the Sand, and it goes a bit like this. Drawn with a stick in the freshly wet sand, a rounded shape and nearly a band. With pieces extruding curved past an arc, one image imprints, standing out stark. On the wide shores, catches with start the rustle of waves, in her heart. End of poem.
Aww. So beautiful.
Drawn with a stick.
You can't make me cry again because that was like really overwhelming.
There you go. Well, I wasn't intending to. So if I don't, that's good. So that was my little one. You know, just that's just a brevity. It's kind of nice. It's a little brevity. Now, Deb, you did put up. Oh, yes. You put up a bloody great big kangaroo to start with. So you can
that's
see.
That's the
you can see.
You tell me that. Tell me Roger's going to mess you up.
That is a big red kangaroo, Hatter, and you can see the size of the muscles on those arms. And they stand about 7 foot tall, and I'm here to tell you, you do not want to be fragging around with a kangaroo. Just quietly, they are big.
Mess you up.
This one looks like he has an attitude.
Does look like he has an attitude, doesn't it? The red, big red kangaroos, absolutely. They're old and big and ornery.
So that's Roger. He's muscle-bound and he's famous.
He's
Roger.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
That's what it said.
Well, I'm just telling you, I wouldn't be mucking around with that beast. I'm just saying.
Oh, hell no.
Now, Deb, just before I read my little brevity, you put up the poem by Kay. And I was thinking, did you want to read that one?
Yes, actually, I do. I saw it. She sent it to me to add to the thing, even though, you know, normally we don't, but Stephen and Kay are always here. And I
they are.
You know,
yes. No, yeah.
There's an exception to rules quite often, and this is one of those.
Yes. No. With you all the way.
All right. So here is a poem called Currents of Time. By Kay. Here we go. The tenacious lady of the sea carries the anchor, her gentleman that creates the key unlocking the door to her heart in days of remembrance built, waiting to be swept away to the Isle of Capri. Water and colors you have to see to believe is the prism of life that colors the heart. Natural beauty, a sea to be seen, is what the intelligent lady seeks with her gentleman by her side. Forever carrying the love, thinking of him, waiting for the day till they are together again. Maybe then, hand in hand, the Isle of Capri will be theirs to know. End poem.
Wow.
Very nice. Very nice.
The Isle of Capri, is that in the Mediterranean? Is it right just outside the...
I believe it is.
I'm not sure where Capri is. I'm pretty taken back with the thought of...
I thought it was near Italy, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, like Morocco, some. I don't know.
Let me have a look.
Yeah.
This is really gorgeous, though. I mean,
I'm a little surprised
and overwhelmed.
Yeah, Italy. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much. An island located in the Tyrrhenian Sea off the Sorrento Peninsula on the south side of the Gulf of Naples in the Campania region of Italy. There you go. That wasn't too bad.
That's old school. It's there.
Thank you very much.
You know, think of the ships that were in that bay at any time back in history.
What's it deep enough?
Pirates.
Right, lots of things. Oh, you're going to pirates.
Well, sure.
I think Lady A was rendered speechless. Hi, Taser.
Yeah. You heard her? Yeah, I was her.
There you go.
Lady A, are you still here?
Ada?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to write her a note.
Uh-huh.
I'm quite surprised and pleased that she submitted that poem tonight.
Me too.
Okay.
Wow.
So, Capri.
Isla Capri.
Capri was actually had people on it in the Neolithic age. Had it.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. When the Romans came in, they were like the fifth generation of people to come through. You know, they were relatively new.
Now, Frank would know all about this. Yeah.
He would. Did you know that Tiberius spent the last 10 years of his life at Capri?
Okay, all right. In fact, Da Vinci, wasn't something about Da Vinci and Isla Capri also?
Good question, Hatter. I'm having a quick look.
Somebody spent their last days.
You're thinking, was it Capri? Was it Napoleon that was sent to Capri? Who was sent to Capri? Somebody was sent to Capri. I'll find out.
Let's see. I think I'm there.
AP,
maybe.
AP, refresh the studio. It refreshed the studio because I did put in a new SoundCloud for tonight that Frank added.
Ah, perfect. I have just refreshed the SoundCloud and I can see it now. So maybe we should play that. If we play that, Hatter, then we can do Think Tank.
Sure. Let's do that. Let's get it done.
Okay. Here we go. This
just the last one, right?
Yeah. Here we go.
I send you faithfully every day messages in a bottle. As I sit here at the edge of the beach of a promenade, before a vast ocean separating our spirits, not knowing afterwards when or if truly you can sense my passion or feel the moisture of my tears. The sudden waves brush the shore with a great surge, receding into the gentle ebbs near the shallow shore. Beyond the passing ships, an endless water flowing, to ponder days spent together by seashells and sand castles, as I am left to cherish tokens of our timeless devotion, that we both were a part of its unique creation and tale. That essence has been reduced to the haunting memories and the moments of time elapsed that I try to rekindle. When I read your love letters imbued by the ink from your words, gravitating to the effects of their sincerity and the love in me that has grown stronger by the day, where it remained in recesses of the chamber of my heart. For you are the lingering chattel, and I am the troubled soul, and I love you as certain dark things are loved secretly between the chattel and the soul with their mystery. My beloved chattel, if I was to die upon this day, would you return for my soul? Shall I find you in the ocean? Shall I find you in the ocean?
Wow.
There you go. Thank you, Frank.
I didn't see the link there. I couldn't follow along, but that was stunning, and his voice was mesmerizing.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
It really was. I'd love to see the work. Is there a link, though? Is there to read it, or?
I'm not sure, lady. I'm
sorry. There is one,
yeah?
But is it a tie? Is it a tie if we both forgot to put the link up?
Yeah, probably.
And Hatter just dropped and has just come back.
Wondering how long I was going to be.
Hello, Hatter.
Still helping.
No, you're back. You're back. All good.
Yeah.
So, I was scrabbling around for the link. Did we find it? Yeah.
I think it's the very first. I stepped away from the computer, but it should be the very first poem added to the board, to the topic.
Oh, okay. Let me have a quick look. I'll try and get it in there while we're talking. It was a great read. It was unusual in the sense that it was really sort of held back on the on the delivery of the poem, and so it was it had a very different feel, and he sort of accentuated that by the word and what he said. So I've just put the link up now, Lady A.
Okay, thank you.
I think there was a quiet intensity about it.
Yeah, it was a great, really good description, actually. Deb, a quiet intensity is a great way to say, you know, how he went about it. So. Thank you, Frank, for sharing that with us.
I wanted to kind of peruse it a little bit to comment. I thought Frank's in the book. I don't know if he's listening or not, but
Yes, he is.
I thought this was gorgeous, and I send you faithfully everyday messages in a bottle as I sit here at the edge of the beach of a promenade before a vast ocean separating our spirits, not knowing afterwards when or if truly you can sense my passion or feel the moisture of my tears. Oh, my goodness, like the whole poem sweeps me off my feet. And, you know, I appreciate you guys writing these pieces for me tonight because... Sorry. Life is difficult, and these expressions, even though it's poetry, just humor me. I really appreciate all of the words and your friendship.
Well, this was Hatter's idea. Lady A. So you do have to thank Hatter. I mean, it was we all take turns in coming up with topics, but I've got to say, Hatter was very certain that he wanted to do this, and there you go. The poems have come from it.
Thank you, Hatter.
You know
I love you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I heard you say more than once, wouldn't it be nice to have one like this written for you?
Yeah.
So, it was a do.
I got the ugly cry going on now, you guys, so.
Well, now you should be glad we're not doing FaceTime.
Yeah, that's
exactly right.
In Frank's poem, like the last verse, my beloved shadow, if I was to die upon this day, would you return for my soul? Shall I find you in the ocean? So beautiful. Thank you, Frank.
Wow. Kind of Frank's and Kay's back-to-back was a perfect idea. Kismet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I've got to say, Frank's dedicated that to his ex-wife, and jeepers, that's impressive, Frank, because I've got to say, I have all sorts of poems written about my ex-wife, but none of them would be like that one. So, well done, yeah.
Well, off the top of my head, I can think of a really beautiful one, just saying.
No. I mean, you know, there were ones there occasionally in the past. You know, it's just
yeah,
that,
okay.
You know, there's not a whole heap of new
it
ones.
It happened.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, Hatter, I promised we would go to Think Tank. I did.
Yes, we have a little time.
And we have time for Think Tank. So. Did you want to orient us towards what you wanted us to think about this week?
Well, the one question or the one thought I was having since the pandemic was, what have we changed in our social life and in our how we live? What's changed that is going to stay? And which ones have we adopted that's going to go away? And which service could one make some money at?
Well,
the prominent one is the drones, is the delivery, delivering medications and to see that another is the I think remote control cars, the remote control anything gadgets, is going to be a big boom. And that's my thought.
Yes.
What about you, AP?
Well, I think what it will do is it will accelerate the trends that are underway at the minute, Hatter. And so what we've seen, for example, is obviously a whole heap less planes flying than what there was before. And those planes will be more expensive, and there'll probably be a series of things you'll have to do to travel, like be vaccinated, for example, and have testing done when you get there and when you come back. And that'll become sort of de rigueur, it'll become standard part, but a lot less people will take flights, number one. Number two, I think a lot more people will take the opportunity to continue to work from home. I think the balance has really changed between working in an office and working from home, and people's preference in a lot of situations is to work from home. And I think what that will do is that'll open up opportunities for people to not necessarily live in cities, but live on the outskirts of cities or in country areas and remotely sort of put stuff in, but it will also reduce the price of city office buildings fairly significantly over the next 5 to 10 years, because there'll be too much stock of office buildings compared to the people who want to sit in them. The other piece for me is that, you know, I think we'll see people, you know, going and engaging with the world again, but I think that's probably going to take a year or two. I think that the hangover from COVID is probably going to be longer than people first thought, and it's certainly going to go through this year and probably half of next year as well. And even then, we might see some issues just because the vaccination program is not perfect. The vaccines are 90-odd%, and some are less.
I think where they're talking is like you're going to have something on your license or a barcode.
Yes.
To be a little more on the ridiculous side, to show that you've been vaccinated. People that haven't been or could be shunned, and in some way, I don't know. That's a good question on being marked.
There's an ethical question, Hatter, and
really?
some employers here in Australia are actually paying their employees to have the COVID shot, like $250 a person. And
incentive.
You know that becomes an interesting question.
Yeah. Plus, I agree with you on the working at home overhead.
Yeah,
it's commercial real estate is ridiculously priced, and that could affect it to actually come down a little bit.
It will come down. Yeah, for sure. The other one I think that's really interesting that's yet to sort of play out but will is that, you know, a couple of the countries have rushed out vaccine for political reasons and to carry favour with their countries around the world. So, for example, Russia and China raced out vaccines quickly. And there was a study done in Brazil in the last month that said that one of the Chinese vaccines was only 50% effective.
I know the airlines were wanting 24-hour testing before you could board a flight or something like that. I was wondering in the future, what are they going to require?
I think you'll see two different streams of airlines, Hatter. I think you'll see one stream of airlines that says you can't get on a plane unless you've had been vaccinated and it's X amount and it's this. And then I think you'll see another stream of airlines that don't say that. I think you'll see, you know, some airlines doing it and some not.
How about the way they filter air? Could that be changed? Or is that...
It already has been. Yeah, no, it already has been. So the very new offices with the newer air conditioning systems, they basically will kill the virus if it comes in contact with their air conditioning systems. Yeah. So again,
you would think on a plane you'd be able to use the ultraviolet light.
You could fit the planes with the air conditioning and filtration systems that are on these expensive office blocks, and you could actually end up with no risk at all of the virus being transmitted because it basically got zapped as soon as you went on board. Yeah. But it'd be interesting to see if anybody does that on planes. They're certainly doing it on office blocks.
Yeah. Interesting. The Uber thing has sure been getting a slam. They don't require background check or something. I think somebody could step up and require that, and possibly could take a good chunk of that.
It's one of these ones that where you sit between people's sort of privacy and what they're prepared to do and what we need to know, yeah, Hatter. And
I was going to say
I suspect there'll be a sort of splintering of the Uber sort of market, for want of a better word, and I think there'll be high security type Uber that costs more money, but everybody's, you know, completely background checked and clean, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. They're just fighting to stay alive, so I think the airlines could be at the mercy of a political party or.
Yes.
I don't know.
Look, I think that, you know, what we've seen in Australia, Patter, where we've had some elections, is that those people who are in power and who are being incredibly conservative and locking down all the time are getting supported incredibly strongly by people voting for them. And so, you know, if people feel like they're being protected, they'll vote for that party. And so, you know, we've seen that, you know, across the country so far.
Yeah. Yeah, all this new news about what was being told to us truthfully and what was being held, and you don't know what to believe, and Jesus.
Well, can I say something with regard to that? Because I'm very, very angry with what's happening now with these vaccines, with regard to the outright lies that they're telling the people. Right now they're telling us, oh, you can mix. If you took AstraZeneca, the first vaccine, then you can take Pfizer or Moderna for your second one.
Right.
And it's just
right.
a pile of you-know-what. And I'm
yes.
so cross because people that don't know any different believe what's being said by the government. And it is a crime against humanity. I truly, truly believe that. And I think that without saying, I mean, anybody that's, I would love to see some doctors come up and say, oh, yes, that's true, because I don't think you'd find one. I truly don't, because you can't mix stuff like that.
Well,
you know,
it's just like the global warming. It's just like the global warming thing. If you spoke up, and even if you're a scientist, and you called it a pseudoscience, and you said there was no basis for a lot of the reports that being out there, you were shunned. You weren't allowed to
yeah.
write a paper in your field, and that's probably what it is. It's all politically charged, and it's a shame because that's bad burning.
Horrible! It's horrible what's going on. And you know something?
Yeah,
our country. I mean, I'm ashamed of my country because the government is pushing AstraZeneca like you wouldn't believe, and
yes.
it's not safe. They're telling the people that it is, and it's not. The efficacy of it is ridiculous, and they're pushing people. They're pushing people to use it, and it's made in the States. They're not, you know, the U.S. isn't even using it. And so what do we do? Why are we buying
yeah.
this crap? You know, why?
Well, so, Lady A, I was going to say a couple of things. The first is that the AstraZeneca uses a different pathway to the other two that you mentioned. And so it doesn't make logical sense to me why you would be able to mix and match the AstraZeneca with anything else, yeah. So that's the first thing. The second thing, I actually had the AstraZeneca shot on Friday afternoon for my first shot.
Oh, did you? Oh,
I
dear.
Did, and I basically was laid low for about 18 hours in the sense that I could barely move. You know, I just...
Yeah.
It's got to kick like a mule would be my short description of side effects, and I was warned from people who'd had it that it, you know, the day after you have it, you know, you just basically feel like you've got run over by a bus, and that's exactly how I felt. The good news is that it's a day on and I feel a whole bit better, Lady A, but you know, for me, you know, you wouldn't want to have got much logical out of me yesterday. But the third and final thing I was going to say was that and AstraZeneca has been pushed here as well, and it uses the iron pathway in the body. And so if your iron is normal, that's terrific. If your iron is not normal, then it doesn't work very well at all. And so, unfortunately, all of my cohort of dialysis patients are all anemic. They're run with low iron.
deliberately.
Right, I'm
so
very surprised that you
don't
really, because of your
machine.
Delicate.
Yeah, no, no, I know I had it. That was the best we could do. But what I was going to say is that the vast majority of my cohort who are dialysis patients are in all sorts of trouble because AstraZeneca just won't work for them until they get their iron to a decent level. And so, you know, the, as you rightly say, the AstraZeneca vaccination is about 75% effective as compared to the others, which are in the low 90s. So it's less effective.
Yeah.
It's got a very nasty side effect typically for people like me, where it kicks like a mule. And the third thing is it doesn't work if you're anemic or have low iron. And that hasn't been well communicated.
And see, unfortunately, people are like sheep, and they will do what anybody tells them to do without doing any real investigation of this stuff, or anything for that matter.
Yeah.
I don't know how many patients I've had over the years that didn't even know what meds they were taking or what they were for.
Yes.
So,
yes.
When they're going, here's my arm, and they're not even looking into it. I feel very angry about the whole thing. And the other thing that's coming up here, too, and it's coming up everywhere, is that, you know, oh, well, you know, you're not going to be able to travel if you don't have your vaccines. You know?
That's coming up here, too.
Blackmail.
Yeah.
And isn't it in the States they're offering... what are they offering in the States? We were talking about that today. To get vaccinated, corporations are offering bonuses of like $50,000, or there's one that's upwards to $1 million. They can win prizes.
Mm.
They get it, you know, there's a lottery of things. And so to me, it's just a grand conspiracy to fool the people, because if you look at the, and I don't mean to go on and on about it, but I really worry about my friends getting it or anybody getting these kinds of things, and then they change the rules like they change their underwear, and you know, now you had to take the second dose within 3 weeks, and it was imperative that you took the dose within second dose, and then now it's like, well, now it's 3 months, now it's 4 months, and then we can mix them. It's just a bunch of just terrifying, actually. I think. Okay, I'm off my soapbox.
Yeah. No. But what I will say, Lady A, is I have had, in the course of a number of years, a lot of different medications. And you know, I've had, you name it, I've just about had it, from, you know, anti-cancer drugs through to drugs that get rid of immune systems through to, you know, a range of things like antivirals. And what I will say about antiviral drugs is that they are incredibly nasty, you know, that as a class. They're horrible things. And they are, you know, certainly the nastiest drugs that I've taken have been antivirals. And this is, of course, what we're looking at here is a whole group of new antiviral drugs. And so... you know, they're not going to be pleasant. And can I say from personal experience, they're not.
No. And I'm actually, to be honest with you, I'm terrified to take it. I think there's too many, as we talked about, too many things that are causing a negative vibe in me anyways. But physically, I'm afraid to take this because, you know, I've had chemo, I've had, you know, other things going on, and I have asthma and things like that, and I'm not good at taking medications because most of them don't agree with me. So I can see, you know, we had 2 deaths in our province from after they took AstraZeneca, and people have been thinking, okay, here's my arm, I'm trusting you, this is going to protect me, and then they die. And so I would be that candidate. You know, the cancer that I had was 1 in a million, and the type of surgery I had was 1 in a million. It was rare. They don't do it in 3 places in Canada that they do it. You know, So I'm to me, for myself and for and others who have illnesses or conditions should really very seriously think about what they're doing and investigate how it will affect you. But I'm not going to take it. If it means I'm never going to travel again, so be it, because I don't feel that they could blackmail me into, you know.
No. Well, as I said, I've taken it, Radio, and I don't remember much about yesterday, but I'm okay now. But the you know, they're not pleasant, and whichever one you take, and it becomes a personal decision as to whether you take them or not, you know. So
yeah,
Hatter?
Absolutely. Oh. I guess what I'm saying is that all of us need to inform ourselves and ask the right questions.
You absolutely should. You absolutely should do some reading on the different vaccination types and what's being found around the world and you know, why certain drugs are used in certain places and why they're not used in others. And you know, I think it there's information out there, Lady A. It's just a matter of going and finding it and getting yourself informed and making sure that you know you're comfortable that about what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and to be attacked because you don't because you're asking questions is just totally wrong.
No, I agree, Hatter. I think to be asking questions is to be encouraged in this particular instance.
Sure, exactly.
Yes, and I think that I've run across people who pretty much kind of gang up on me because they're all sitting there. Oh, I have my back. You know, like, did you get and then you get. I give my opinion of it and why, and then it's just a forever ending, like, basically, you know, you're nuts if you don't, and you're never going to have a normal life again because nobody will want you around them. That's what I was told today.
I'm not sure it'll be as black and white as that, Lady A. I really don't, you know. I think there'll be enough people who react badly to the vaccine that people will you know, I think they'll be their position will be moderated, for want of a better word.
Yeah. I just hope and pray that nobody there's no more deaths because of it, and I just wish that the fear mongering would stop, because like the government is just unbelievable that way, you know, and I'm shocked. It's like the Twilight Zone, I feel, you know. Some of this stuff.
Look, I think there's. We've always got to recognise that, you know, politicians primarily are there to get re-elected, you know.
Right.
And I know that's a very cynical thing to say, but primarily politicians are there to get re-elected, and having a little bit of shock and awe, and fear is not such a bad thing for getting re-elected. You tend to get re-elected in those circumstances.
Well, yeah, I don't. I guess so, but I don't agree with it. I think it's a horrible thing that they're doing to the people. I really do. I think it's.
I agree
that's
with you. I'm just saying
nobody,
I can see why they're doing it. That's all. So.
Yes. Oh yeah. And you know, and that's not even. We're not even touching on the big pharma money making buggers that they are. You know.
No, I'm with you all the way, Lady A. This is the biggest payday that's come to large pharma in many, many decades.
Oh yeah, unreal. So I'm going to have a tomato off the vine right now.
Wait, people, you need to pick a subject for next week. Have you thought about what we're going to
do? I do need to pick a subject for next week, Hatter. And I was looking around me for for sort of stimulation as to what I could do. Yeah. And I think I might go with blanket.
You're going with what?
Blanket.
Blankets.
Yes.
All right.
Blankets. Yep. Oh. That's where I am.
So, okay. Such unusual topic.
Thank you very much, Lady A.
I believe it might be a little bit chilly where he is. Sorry.
Yeah.
It is chilly. It is chilly.
They're very
and I'm going blank.
Especially when you end up writing such fantastic pieces to these original topics. And before the night gets away, I want to say thank you again for the wonderful poetry. It's making me cry.
Pleasure, Lady A. As I said, it was completely Hatter's idea. I take absolutely no responsibility. So there you go.
Thank you, my darling.
Hannah, I think we might sort of finish up there and give people some time to think about how they're going to respond to the prompt for next week, which, of course, is blankets.
Okay.
And we shall see what we come up with.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, great night. So, Lady, I can't say you never had love poem written.
Oh my God!
No, that's exactly right.
They were so beautiful. Thank you so very much. I love the second of it.
You're welcome. And tomorrow, just a reminder: tomorrow I'll be doing Carlos Santana.
Yes,
Carlos, and playing some of his music. So you can call in to hang or just listen, either one. I don't need to write to it because usually I don't have a lot of time on the music shows to read a lot of things.
Yes.
But I will if you show up. And that'll start at 11 Eastern time, 11 p.m., 8 o'clock in the West.
Yes.
Well,
what's the name of the show, Hatter?
It is called Hatter's Jukebox.
All right.
Hatter's Jukebox. Funky.
Hatter's Jukebox. Yeah, not Music Box.
No, it's not. Very good. Very good.
So if we could go out, unless we have some other pressing business, let's see, let's go out with a song.
Yes. Did you have a thought about which song you wanted to go out with, Hatter?
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask Deb if she happened to upload that one, Mamas and the Papas.
Oh, I did not.
Okay, I think we have it.
Well,
we might have it already in the file, but I wasn't sure.
Well, you know, that gives me a moment there. I made this really cool topic in the staff room. And in that topic is a list of every single song in the studio. And if you think you have a particular song, you just click it and you look under Hatter and in alphabetical order.
Wow.
How many songs are there? So you are looking for... I'm coming down here to Hatter. And Hatter comes right after the list, Elvis, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And I am finding, no, now how about, would it be listed by Madman? Nope. Okay, I believe that it is in here somewhere, but that you have it under a cover rather than
Beach Boy
them.
Well. Yeah.
Deb. It's okay because earlier in the show I was talking about Crowded House and I have a Crowded House song loaded up in the studio.
Okay.
And so I was
going
to play
that. Sounds like we have a plan.
So, And it's got a great chorus. And I just want to read the chorus to you. This is Pineapple Head by Crowded House. And its chorus goes, "And if you choose to take that path, I will play you like a shark, and I'll clutch at your heart. I'll come flying like a spark to inflame you." That's really cool. It's very poetic.
And that's by
so.
And that's who? Oops,
all right. So.
My dad.
I'm gonna go with Pineapple Head, the Finch,
right,
by Crowded House. And
okay,
I will see you all in a week's time for Plankets. Meanwhile, if you want to catch Hatter, you can catch him same bat channel tomorrow night, Hatter.
Tomorrow night.
Thank you, Doug.
Love
well,
the night.
Thank you to Hatter. Thank you to Deb. Thank you to Lady A. Yeah. Thank you to Frank for the SoundCloud. Thank you to Kay and Stephen. And we will be back next week. Thank you, everybody.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Doug. Bye, everybody. Here comes Crowded House. My favorite
Bye.
Song. So I'm allowed to play it. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Get to this flat. No longer is always flat out. Got the number of getaway car. Didn't get very far. I don't feel too well. And if you choose to take that path, I will play you like a shark, and I'll clutch at your heart. I'll come flying like a spark to inflame. Like a number I hold, don't remember if she was my friend. It was a long time ago. If she was my friend, it was a long time ago.
Those people who picked up the similarities between that song and Norwegian Wood and the fact that it was in 3/4 beat.
We will see you next week for Blankets. Have fun, everybody. Talk soon. Bye.
Night.